Ramsey TV.
I realize, of course, why many people are having problems with the lake of fire, which is the second death, being death, even though it states it to be death. People have problems with that because they think that death is a punishment for sin. And if Jesus Christ died for a sin, why do people have to go to the lake of fire, which is the second death? Well, for that matter, well, I have an important question to ask you, but first, this is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. I am your host. Here's a question. We are currently justified. We are currently conciliated to God. We are members of the body of Christ. And yet, horror of horrors, and I'm not making fun of it, it's terrible, some of us die. I have friends who are believers, who were believers, who died. Now, just transfer this situation to the judgment at the great white throne. Because then everybody freaks out. Not me. I don't freak out because I understand what death is. I want to explain that to you. I mean, I understand what it's the result of. It's not the result of sin. I repeat, death is not the result of sin. It's not the wages of sin. Martin, you're contradicting one of the most important, most popular, most famous verses of Scripture. The wages of sin is death. Nope, bad translation. Bad translation is going to fix everything for you. So we freak out at the great white throne. Some people do. Anyone suffers death after that. Martin, they're being judged. You say everything's made right. Everything's made right, yet you say some people whose names are not written in the book of life go to the second death. No, I don't say that. God says that. But why would you think that would be unfair if you have no problem, really, with people who are believers today dying? Again, just transfer the situation. Let's say they become believers at the great white throne, and I believe they do. I believe that they, obviously, they're seeing God. The earth has been pulled out from under their feet. Their whole life is flashed before them, and they're like, I believe. Well, what a big deal that is. Yeah, you believe by sight, not by faith. That's okay. We just checked your list of works here, and they pretty much suck, so off to the second death. Not fair. It's not fair if you think that death comes to us because we're sinners. It doesn't. Only one man in history could say that death came to him because he sinned. And that man is Don Rickles. No, just kidding. That man is Adam. Adam's the only human being in history who sinned first. And then death came on him as a consequence of what he did. From that point forward, Romans 5, verse 12, it is death that passed through into all mankind, on which all sinned. So we sin because we are dying, but it is death that we inherited from Adam. Ooh, there it is. We don't die because we're sinners. We die because we're Adamic, because we inherited death from Adam. And it comes to all irrespective of what they do. I could just give you one simple example. It will all be clear to you. Okay. A one-month-old baby and Adolf Hitler are both dead. No, let's say a one-day-old baby died shortly after birth. One-day-old baby died. Adolf Hitler also died. Is the baby any less dead than Adolf Hitler? Is Adolf Hitler any more dead than the baby? Why is this an important question? Because while you will find no difference at all between the one-day-old baby and Adolf Hitler as far as death is concerned, there is a vast difference in how much each of them sinned. The baby didn't have time to sin. The baby was relatively innocent, yes, still born in Adam, obviously, because the baby died. But this alone proves to you that death has nothing to do with sin. Only one man can say death has everything to do with my sin, and that was Adam. But for human beings, death is a result of being Adamic. And Adam, two things happened to Adam that day in the garden. He disobeyed God, became a sinner, and he offended God's feelings. He became an enemy of God. For his sin, he suffered. For what he did, he suffered. But for what he became, he was going to die. So in a way, you can say that not even Adam died because of what he did. He suffered because of what he did. He didn't die that day, but he became an enemy of God that day. To die, you shall be dying, says the Hebrew. So mortality began working through his veins and the veins of his lovely wife at that time, and they would eventually die. But immediately they suffered because of what they did. We suffer because of what we do. We die because of what we are. God cursed the ground. Eve was going to have a lot of pain in childbirth. Adam had to work the ground. It was hard. By the sweat of your brow, you shall produce your food, so on and so forth. Life became a real pain after that because suffering is a result of sin. Death is a result of being Adamic. The baby is Adamic. Hitler is Adamic. So death, you can see, is not a penalty. Nobody's being penalized when they die. Well, that's terrible. These people are going into the second death. God wouldn't do that. Why? Because Jesus Christ already died for their sin, didn't he? What difference does that make if it's time for them to die? God, Christ already died for our sins, yet some of us die. Terrible. Some of our fellow believers have died. Death must not have anything to do with God justifying, conciliating, and saving you and making you a member of the body of Christ even. So it's not unfair that people die. It's just that God, those whose names are not written in the book of life after the great white throne judgment, they're not appointed to live through Aeon 5, and so they go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. And if you're not going to overly complain about believers dying today, I mean, you complain about it, but you accept it. Well, yeah, shit happens. It just happens. Well, it happens there, too. Shit happens at the great white throne after the judgment. All is made right. Wonderful. Now they go into the fifth eon. Not if their names aren't written in the book of life. Not if their acts suck. They go to the second death. Which brings us to the famous verse you mentioned earlier. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That is a mistranslation. Concordance says the ration of sin is death. King James says the wages of sin is death in almost every other version, and the gift of God is eternal life. Both those, the translation of both ends of that thing are wrong, making that verse, as translated in the popular versions, a monstrosity. The concordant version says the ration of sin is death, but the gift of God is life aeonian through Christ Jesus. The wages of sin is suffering, not death. So what does that word ration mean in the concordant version? It's a kind of a complex issue. The word for ration is opsonion. There's another word for wages, and it's misthos. Misthos is the Greek word that is commonly translated wages. The King James, lo and behold, of course, they translate misthon wages. The English element is higher, but then when the Greek word opsonion comes along, instead of translating it with some different English word because it's a different Greek word, no, they translate it wages. But the word misthos isn't here in Romans 6:23. It's the word opsonion. It means ration. It means something that is doled out as you go. Wage is something you're paid at the end of a day. Ration is something that is doled out. So if you're living in accord with sin, death is hanging over your head, and so death is feeding you as you go along. That's a bit of a complicated concept, but follow me here. I'm in Romans 6, verse 20. I'm going to explain this to you briefly. I hope to get to Romans 5 to show you that Christ answers our needs. He answers both the need to be delivered from sin and to be delivered from enmity with God. Because again, we suffer for what we do. We die because of what we are. Death is not a penalty. God is not mad at people when they die. He's not mad at people when they die. He's not. Is he mad at the one-day-old baby? No, the baby is Adamic. He's not even mad at Hitler when he dies. Oh, where's he going to be mad at Hitler? Okay, well, let's go here first. I'll show you how he's going to be mad at Hitler. Romans 2. Verse 5, yet in accord with your hardness and unrepentant hearts, you are hoarding for yourself indignation in the day of indignation and revelation. This is speaking of the tribulation of the just judgment of God, who will be paying each one in accord with his acts. This is looking forward to the great white throne, I believe. To those indeed who by endurance and good acts are seeking glory and honor and incorruption, life aeonian. They will be paid life aeonian at the great white throne, where the judgment is accord with acts, not accord with works. Yet to those of faction and stubborn indeed, as to the truth, this applies to Billy Graham as well, of Adolf Hitler, yet persuaded to injustice, again, Hitler and Billy Graham, what will be paid them? Indignation, fury, and affliction and distress. Indignation, fury, affliction, and distress on every human soul which is effecting evil. So what you do, you get paid. You get paid indignation, fury, affliction, and distress. This will happen during the tribulation, but I think this verse is mainly speaking of the great white throne judgment, when God metes out judgment in accord with people's acts. So those who want people to suffer for their sin, well, Jesus Christ already died for their sins, so they're already saved. But they have to be adjusted in their own minds. They have to be adjusted according to what they thought they were doing in their hearts. And so I didn't write this verse. Indignation, fury, affliction, and distress will be coming on these people, including Adolf Hitler. So it's going to be, ouch, ooh, ah, oh. That's the indignation, fury, affliction, and distress. The baby's not going to get so much of that, the one day old. It's going to come before the great white throne, and God's going to go, yeah, off to the new earth with you, because you don't do nothing. You're an innocent soul. There's a different level of glory for the one day old baby that there is for the Apostle Paul, obviously. Even though they're both going to be with God, the Apostle Paul has much weight of glory because of his weight of suffering. You can say, oh, that baby was lucky, didn't go through anything. In a way, yes, I agree with you. In another way, when it comes time for glory and that business, the baby's going to be glorified, of course, but not to the extent that the Apostle Paul is going to be glorified. Even if the baby, well, never mind, that's a stupid thing to say. I was going to say, even if the baby's in the body of Christ, baby can't be in the body of Christ. I'm sorry, anybody who has babies, I'm sorry. Don't shoot the messenger. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by a declaration of God, right? So if the kid's not old enough to understand, then the kid can't be in the body of Christ. I think kids at age 3, 4 are old enough to understand that Jesus died for their sins, that they're inherently weak, unable, and that this man died on the cross and saved them from death. I think 3 and 4 year olds can get that. So teach your kids now. Teach your kids. It's up to you. So nobody is being punished when they die. So back to Romans 6 here. :23 leading up to it. When you were slaves of sin, you were free to righteousness. That's verse 20. What fruit then had you then, of which you are now ashamed? The fruit. For indeed the consummation of those things is death. So when you are a slave of sin, the consummation that is ahead of you, all you have to look forward to is death. The consummation of those things are death, and you produce no fruit. Yet now, being free from sin and enslaved to God, you have your fruit for holiness. Now the consummation is life aeonian. So now you have life aeonian to look forward to. So the wage, that is what is doled, no, the ration, that is what is given you to sustain you during your walk, the ration of sin, all you get dished out to you is the specter of death lying ahead of you. You don't die every day, but you have that specter. If you're a slave of righteousness, then you have aeonian life that is rationed out to you. That's the consummation. You obviously aren't being given literal aeonian life every day that you live, but the consummation now is life aeonian. So with that as the consummation, you are doled out life. You are doled out a dose of life every day that you live, being enslaved to righteousness. Whereas on the other hand, you're doled out a little bit of death, a little taste of death. That's the consummation for you if you're a slave of sin. And I've explained to you before what a slave of sin is. Not necessarily somebody who sins like crazy. It could also be someone who tries like crazy not to sin. You're enslaved to it. And so you're constantly fighting to avoid death, to avoid being cursed, to avoid being condemned. That's not our ration. That's not what our portion every day. So wages of sin is death. That's a wrong translation. Wage, misthos, something that's paid you at the end of the day, makes you think with that translation that, oh, well, if death is the wages of sin, then it's not fair that people don't sin very much die. Like that one day old baby, how can the wages of sin, how can that baby die if he didn't do much sin? Because death has nothing to do with how much you sin. Because the baby's just as dead as Hitler, there's no difference. Death is the great equalizer. Right? It's a great equalizer comes to all, irrespective of acts. All the adjustment that is needed for the baby's small, little, tiny, little wee, wee acts and Adolf Hitler's monstrous semi-truck, metric ton acts, it's all happened at the Great White Throne while they're alive. No one gets judged in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Many people like to think that the lake of fire, the second death, is a place of judging, is a place of coming to contrition, is a place of being maybe punished a little bit in the case of Hitler. No. Everything Hitler needs, every ass-kicking that the guy needs, indignation, fury, and affliction, let's use the scriptural terms there. I don't read ass-kicking. In Romans 2, will happen while the dude is alive at the Great White Throne. Don't know how long that judgment will be. Might be 5 minutes, might be 5 years. But Hitler's going to get what's coming to him. Don't worry. Celebrate. The baby's going to pass through there like in 2 seconds. Stamp his passport. Okay, off to the new earth with you. Hitler's going to take longer. I wouldn't want to be standing around the guy. Or Billy Graham. God, don't stand anywhere near Billy Graham when he comes up to the Great White Throne Judgment. Now serving number 17, Billy Graham. Jesus Christ, get as far away from that guy as you can. It's going to be rough for that guy. I feel worse for him than for Hitler, and I'm not kidding you. Yeah, because he took the... He was an imposer, an imposter. He was a fake. He was a phony. He was just out to be famous, to make a name for himself. He preached a false gospel that's anathema. He turned people against God. Hitler didn't do that. Hitler didn't pretend to be some holy man and turn people against God. Hitler wasn't even fighting God. He was fighting the Jews. Didn't give much of a crap about God. He was an altar boy when he was a kid, sang in the choir. Yeah, Billy Graham, get the hell away from the tent of Billy Graham because it's going to be rough for that guy. So he's going to get it all while he's alive at the Great White Throne. I'm assuming Billy Graham, well, because of his acts, I mean, will he go? I don't know. It's not me to judge. I don't know. Will Billy Graham go to the second death? Could be. Yeah, it could be. But because if he had good acts, I don't know what the guy did. Then if his name's written in the Book of Life, he goes off to the Great White Throne. So death comes to all. It's not a punishment. Death is not a punishment. It can't be, because the baby is just as dead as Adolf Hitler. Okay, so it's not unfair. It sucks, but it's not unfair. I tell you that the reason, well, it's a mercy that people die. People get sick because mortality is working in us. Sometimes it's a mercy when people die. They're not conscious of what's going on after they die. So, you know, we don't mourn like other people mourn because we have this wage that's paid to, not a wage, we have a ration, a supply that's paid to us every day. That's the expectation of life aeonian. So, I cleared that up. And what's interesting is after I've cleared it up and given you the facts, then people will say, oh, okay, I guess the lake of fire, the second death, I guess that really is death. Well, it always was really death. The only reason is you were imposing your ideas about it onto what Scripture said it was, but I can forgive you because you had a wrong idea, thinking that death was a punishment for sin. And if Jesus Christ died for sin, why are people dying for their sin? They're not. They're dying because they became enemies in Adam. They became estranged from God. They're Adamic, even though they're reckoned, some of them, all of them reckoned to be righteous. Not all of them were acquainted with that fact during their life. And later this week, possibly tomorrow even, I'm going to go to Romans 5, and I'm going to show you how Christ answers both our problems, our enmity with God, and our sin issue, that the things that we do, continue to do, even though we're justified. Christ died for that. But he offered his very life for the deeper problem of enmity with God. Death is a deeper problem than these little things that we do. But Christ is the answer to all of our needs.